Angela. Greg is the mother of Michael Moultrie, Jr., a four-year-old, killed while visiting Chicago Labor Day weekend. We all know that story. It didn't happen this past weekend, but the weekend before. And it was just another tragedy upon tragedy that we have been dealing with in Chicago. Not only the violence that we report every Monday, but how many young people are getting killed. Angela wrote a note to the mothers, to the city, and to the leaders in Chicago. It's sort of an open letter from a grieving mom. And it's actually very touching. Angela, before I ask you to read a little from it, first of all, thank you for joining us on WGN Radio today. How are you?
You know, John, I always hate that question because my son was murdered and his killers are still on the street, so I never know how to answer that.
Yeah, and actually, that's not the best way to start a conversation. That's routine for somebody like me. How are you? But I don't know how you get through days like this. This is Angela Gregg. And pronounce your son's name for me. It's Michael, right?
Yes, his name is Michael James Moultrie, Jr.
4 years old. You folks are from Georgia, right?
No, John, we're not from Georgia. We're from Alabama. That's where MJ was born. That's where I was raised. We're from Alabama.
What brought you to Chicago then for that weekend?
Absolutely. It was the last, it was the last weekend of the summer. We wanted to come up here, visit his dad, go to the water park, and just have some family fun this weekend. Me and MJ had an extended weekend in Alabama from work and school, and we wanted to spend that time as a family.
So you come up to see family, and then where was he that day?
They were actually at a family friend's house. We were all there to, get our hair done for the weekend. And he was sitting in the apartment with his father and the beautician.
Where were you at the time?
I had actually ran out. MJ had wanted wanted some chips. He just wanted a snack when he was getting his hair done. So I had ran out to go get him a snack. And when I had pulled back up, I had sat in my car for a couple moments, and I was actually outside when I heard the fire, when I heard the gunshots. I was outside in my car in the back of the apartment.
And what did you think when you heard that?
I was scared. I was fearful. After I heard the shots, there was a car alarm that went off. So I honestly thought it was like people that maybe had, shot somebody in their car. And I was afraid, so I just stayed in my car and was waiting to hear from his dad to make sure that they were okay on the inside. But I thought that initially somebody, was shot in their car from the car alarm that went off.
Angela Gregg is Michael's mom, and she's telling us this story. I think a lot of us wonder about the lives those people live in the neighborhoods where the bullets are flying, and we're thankful that we don't live there. And I wonder, as someone who didn't live there at the time but came back to visit family, were you apprehensive about coming back to Chicago to that neighborhood because you worried that it might be violent?
Actually, I wasn't. I was not concerned about that at all. Me and MJ, we did live in Chicago for 4 years, so we lived here a good amount of time. And it's unfortunate that it takes things like this to make you open your eyes. Yes, we are aware and we get it, but until it happens to you, it just opens your eyes. I wasn't afraid. If I was, I definitely wouldn't have my family there. His father wouldn't have us there. I wouldn't have my son there if I had any concerns about the neighborhood.
I guess so. I mean, people live there and they do love their families, and I don't know how much they want to be there. I suppose they do, but they sure wish the bullets weren't there. But, I think some of us scratch our heads and think, oh my gosh, I think I'd be afraid to drive through some of the neighborhoods for the bullets flying, let alone spend time there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm talking to the mothers, the fathers of that neighborhood. They're a lot of small children that live there, around that block, around that area. There are families that want it to stop. They want the bullets to stop flying. It's just not easy for people to just simply pick up and relocate. So I get it. They're afraid. They're scared too.
And then there was David Brown, the police superintendent here in Chicago, who the following Monday made a statement that put some of the onus on the parents or the adults. And I was talking to some friends of mine about that, and they really took exception to. They were angry at what the superintendent said, David Brown said, as though it were your fault or Mike Hill's father's fault or somebody else's fault. It is the fault of the person that pulled the trigger. But I wonder if you heard what Superintendent Brown said and what your thought was about that, Angela.
I did hear his statement, and I was highly offended by what he had to say. We aren't involved in anything that would bring harm to our child. We wouldn't have our child there. So for him to put the blame on the parents and not put the resources together to try to capture the actual killers, I feel like it's a cop-out, and he definitely needs to do better. And I don't know if he's desensitized to whatever is going on his watch when it comes to children being targeted in the city of Chicago, but I do think it was very distasteful for him to make a statement and blame the parents for innocent children.
Another thing that is just mystifying, confounding to me, let's say, is the fact that some people know who shot your son. These aren't complete mysteries. These aren't just individuals all by themselves. I would presume they usually have accomplices or somebody else in the vehicle. Too often we do discover there's a few people in the car, and maybe their friends know that they did it as well. And the point is this, that for $9,000, if someone comes forward and gives the name, they'll capture that money. And they have not yet. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about that, Angela, in just a minute. You also have something to say to the city of Chicago, and we'll get to that in a moment, too. Right now, Angela Gregg is visiting with us. She's the mother of Michael Moultrie. He is that 4-year-old kid who was killed visiting family over Labor Day weekend. And she actually wrote a letter to the city of Chicago, to the leaders, to the mothers out there. And while we don't have time to read it all, it is posted, and I'll tell you how you can read what she has to say. But Angela, as we're talking to you about this, I did want to read one little paragraph or part of a paragraph from your letter, if you don't mind.
Yes, I'm okay with that.
You said on September 3rd at 8:45 p.m. on 65th and Ellis, this is when and where my beautiful and intelligent baby boy was shot twice in the head. Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor represents that area. $9,000 leading to the arrest of my baby's killers. $9,000 to do the right thing. Come forward and come forward now. Let us rid our streets of those who would kill your child in front of you. 280 children have been shot so far this year, and it's climbing. So that money is out there, and it has not been claimed yet, right?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Do the neighbors, does Mike Hill's father, does anybody seem to have any idea who did this? Was somebody in the apartment targeted? How is it that that bullet was fired at that place? Do you have any ideas on that?
And John, that's exactly why me and his father are doing everything that we can. That's why we're talking to as many people as we can. We've been to that neighborhood. We are knocking on doors. We are talking to the neighbors. The neighbors, they are being as helpful as they can, but at the same time, they're afraid too. So, you know, they didn't see anything. That, you know, when they heard the gunshot, like most people would, they got down, they got their children to safety, and they weren't looking out the window, you know, trying to figure out who it was.
Yeah.
They're doing their best. Like, they have been very, you know, active and cooperative with the police, with the families, with me, with his father. We still have nothing. We've come up with nothing. So at this point, we're just, you know, trying to talk to everybody and get the word out and let them know that they have no safe place. There's no safe place that they can hide. And that's what we want to explain to people, that no matter what, we're going to continue to fight. We're going to get the people who did this to my son, the murderers who killed our son, because if they killed my son right in front of his father, they'll do the same. They'll do it again if there's no consequences for their actions.
You don't feel that his father was the target? Nobody in the building was a target? That it was a random shooting?
No, his father is a college-educated man. He has a degree in engineering. He's not some criminal. He's not some bad person. He's not a target. He gets up and goes to work. He's an active member of society. He gets back. No, he's not. He wasn't a target.
So what's your plan now, Angela?
So right now, my plan is to just keep working with the community, keep working with Chicago Police Department. We are in contact with Lori Lightfoot's office. We're also in contact with the House of Representatives for Illinois. Cam Buckner has reached out to us. He wants to help. He wants to put a plan in motion for my son. So we're not going to stop until we do what we have to do. And what we have to do right now is find the people that are responsible for MJ's murder. So we are working with leaders of the community, with leaders of the city, and with the leaders of the state of Illinois.
You know, your son's four. Something happens between the age of four and the age of 16 that turns four-year-olds into 16-year-olds who will randomly put a bullet in a building and they don't care where. And I think, you know, if we're going to fix this, we need to figure out what happens between 4 and 16. We need to find a way to keep those kids from transforming into those kids. You right?
Absolutely. There definitely needs to be more resources out there because it seems like, you know, things like this are happening with children that are getting younger and younger and younger. So we definitely need to put some type of resources in place, some type of program in place that captures the youth at the very beginning. We can't wait until they're already, you know, into their teenage years or so they're already young adults. We have to start from the beginning. Yeah. And that's what we plan to do, to start at the very beginning and work our way up.
So one last thing then, you know, when you and I spoke off the air, I know you spoke to my producer Elif a couple of times, and then you and I spoke this morning. I just have a minute or so left here. But Angela, from that letter, from those three letters that you wrote to the city, to its leaders and to mothers out there, there was one paragraph that I thought was maybe most helpful. You don't have to read it if you don't want to, but you'd like to, I believe, right?
Yes, sir. I can read it for you.
Go ahead.
My sweet baby boy, like too many before him, was not committing a crime or preparing to hurt anyone. He was bonding with his father at a friend's house. And all I can think is that we must not let our children's death go gently into that good night. We must rage, rage against the dying light. The light that we must fight for is our children, and their memories must live on. Help me honor the light they shined on this earth by promoting justice for those who have escaped punishment for their evil. The evil acts against the most vulnerable. There are too many of us that have gone through the same thing not to have effective change for each other. And I'll be posting more about the open letters on MJ's Instagram account, which is Mykel_the_great. And he also has his own Facebook page to keep people updated, which is Mykel_MJ.
I'll put a link to that on my Facebook page, too. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. You know, it doesn't do us any good, I guess, to call these people names, but I just think those cowards, you know, those little puny cowards that think that shooting an apartment or a hair salon or randomly into a building makes them strong. You know, they are the opposite of that, and the consequences are tragic.
There has to be consequences. I'm not a forgiving mother. You took my entire world away from you. I'm not the mother that's going to sit up here and say, I forgive you. I'm not. I'm going to see this through for my son, and I hope that justice prevails in this situation and that you don't get a night's rest, that you don't sleep well, that you are uneasy and as uncomfortable as you have made me and my family. So I will not be forgiving you, and I will be seeking you out if it's the last thing I do.
Angela Gregg, thanks for your time. I think you put a good voice to the grief that a lot of families, too many in Chicago, have felt. I'm sorry that you were called upon to do that, but you've done it well, Angela. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Don.